Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sonati. Eric A. Sonati. Who?
Eric Sonati, of course.
Right here on the Hostile Zone, on your FM dial, your AM dial, on iHeartRadio, on TuneIn Radio, on Spotify, and on 300-plus podcast platforms in 57 countries and 2,000-plus stations as we speak. Moving into the show today, we're going to talk about something interesting. Well, not really interesting, I guess, something I kind of always like to talk about, free speech. But free speech is not just a suggestion, it's a constitutional demand. It really is. So tonight we're going to step into a legal firestorm. And I mean, folks, a legal firestorm brewing right there in Naples, Florida, right there in Governor DeSantis's backyard. At the center, drag queens, transgender, whatever you want to call it, a public park, and the First Amendment. Naples, Florida, backed by the ACLU, is suing the city after the annual outdoor event was restricted, relocated indoors, slapped with a $30,000 security fee, and barred from the public eye. What an event to discuss today. This isn't just about one event, folks. It's about what governments can and cannot censor, okay? And who they can silence, and whether or not your right, folks, and my right, and everybody's right to free speech is equal. And it depends on whether it makes somebody uncomfortable. That's the question for tonight. So the courtroom is set. The stakes are national precedent. And joining me, as always, is my lovely, beautiful co-host. My command presence in heels, in velvet sledgehammer of reason and resistance, Miss Bianca C-S-E-A, like the ocean. Bianca, in this episode, it's got markings all over cultural warfare for you and constitutional law for me. Say hi to your folks.
Bianca C, that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show, Miss Bianca.
Thank you.
It's been a couple of weeks. We've been on break, working on a lot of stories, but we are at it hard. Carrie, good evening. How are you today, Carrie?
I am doing awesome. Oh, great night to be alive, I guess.
Isn't it, right? Well, one thing first is we have a contributor on today's show from Naples, Florida, someone involved in politics, et cetera. He needs no introduction, though, right, Carrie? He's going to do it all himself when we get him on, right? You spent
yes.
a lot of time with him.
Yep. He'll do his own introduction when we get ready.
Awesome, awesome. We like him. He's been on previous shows with me before, so hopefully fans reach out. Eric at ericandrewsonati.com. Eric at thehostilezone.com, Bianca at thehostilezone.com. Reach out and let us know what you think of the show. Always we're interested. And also let us know what you think of our contributors when they come on the show, because we're building staff and we like viewer and listener feedback. Exciting show. What do you think, Carrie? Going to be a good show today, this topic, I think.
It's going to be interesting.
Interesting, right? And, you know, I'm not here to insult anybody. Miss Bianca's not. Our executive producer will cut the mic if I do. So Carrie has carried us all the way here. And Carrie will carry me off the stage if I'm inappropriate. Right, Carrie? Am I correct?
That's right.
Right.
We love you, Carrie. We love you. Yeah, so it's a hot-headed topic, and I'm okay to cover it. We are available on all your social media networks, but I'm going to let you know, folks, YouTube and them, we're there. But I'm not going to X out any words. So we get weeded out. You got to really look for us on there if you want to watch or listen to a show, because I'm not going to use abbreviations. We're going to call it like it is, because that's what we do, is report reality. Famous quote of the day. The most stringent protection of free speech would not protect a man in falsely shouting fire in a theater, which we all know. The question is, every case is whether what is in the words. Create a clear and precise and present danger. Very clear. So you have a right to free speech, but does those words present a clear and present danger to public disorder to our nation, that kind of thing. Not if it hurts your feelings. Not if it hurts your feelings. This quote comes from Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes, and that was from a landmark Supreme Court case in 1919. Now, let me just add a little more to that, and then we're going to get right into it. Your free speech, our free speech is in the Constitution, is there because we have a right to say what we believe. Mm-hmm. And as long as, according to this quote, and in the Constitution clearly, that if what you're saying does not create a public danger or whatever, then that is considered protected speech. However, when your free speech impedes somebody else's right to freedom, then that becomes an issue. So that, I think putting my lawyer cap on here, I think that might play in on this, because it is not, this could be a situation where the public really pushes back and there might be a danger to the people engaging in this this show, or the public might riot, you know, who knows? I don't know. And I'm not here to speculate. And I'm not going to speculate what were in the minds of any of these people that heard this case, but I just want to preface that you have the right to free speech, but when your speech impedes somebody else's right, it becomes a problem. And when your free speech potentially causes danger to others, it is a problem. That's really what I wanted to say. Hmm. So we have a guest on that we were going to we're going to be having on, but we'll be going to be bringing him in a minute. Talking points. This is what it comes down to. It a permit war. It's a permit war. Like city council, they went to city council for a permit here. Okay. Naples Pride. Okay, that is, I guess, the organization. Am I right, Carrie? It's an organization. Naples Pride, right? It's a 501.
There's pride organizations all over the place. This is just probably the one that they have in Naples.
So Naples Pride has held a drag show. I guess we can use that word because that's what they're calling it. Outdoors in Cambier, and I might be pronouncing it wrong, Cambier Park, since 2017. Now the city is citing security risks, and the city has forced the event to move indoors, away from the public square and near a playground that they say needs protection.
Oh.
Now, Bianca, the First Amendment doesn't have an asterisk for what discomforts people, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you're uncomfortable, it's not the, you know, that's not what we were just saying. So are we witnessing a censorship or dressed up as a safety issue, Ms. Bianca? Do you think that they're dressing it up as a safety issue, but they're really censoring what it is that they want to do and want to say?
It sure looks that way. Let's be honest. This isn't about logistics. It's Shakespeare in the Park.
What's happened behind me there has been absolutely cinematic.
I love Shakespeare in the Park, and I love this production.
Everybody, to me, just really gave it their all, and nobody missed a beat.
Just the pacing of the entire show was incredible, and it was just amazing. Like, I'm speechless.
The production value, the sound, the lighting, the performance, the stage sets, everything, fantastic.
Almost movie-like.
Really interesting reimagination of Shakespeare. It kind of shows that, you know, Shakespeare doesn't have to be stuffy or boring. It can really be something exciting and dynamic.
Being able to, like, really visualize it and understand, like, sort of the deeper hidden meanings behind some of the lines and everything, it was just a really fun watch.
The atmosphere of Fort Canning also adds to the experience of watching Macbeth.
Oh, I wish this was on every year. How often can you see live theatre out under the moon?
It's really fun. I think one of the draws of going for Shakespeare in the Park is the fact that you can eat together.
Bring your picnic baskets, bring your picnics, come and get a drink. It's just such a great night out.
So the show is running till 1st June. Come and watch the show. You won't regret it.
Come and watch the show.
Can run rowdy comedies outside.
You
Why not drag?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's really on trial here? Who gets to be visible and who gets pushed behind closed doors?
That was a fascinating spot, and she caught me with the notes on that. I wasn't ready. Shakespeare in the Park, that makes a lot of sense, right, Carrie? What? That's really good, actually. Very, very good, Carrie. Bianca. Shakespeare in the Park, because Shakespeare has a lot. I mean, nowadays it's not as shocking, but those of us who actually read Shakespeare, which I'm sure Carrie has, there's a lot of crazy things that are in there, right? That are set. And we've been accepting Shakespeare in the Park for years. I know from New York and New Jersey, I used to watch it myself. Am I right or wrong, Carrie?
In some of the larger cities, I think it's kind of there all the time.
But I mean, like, but exactly. But I'm saying, like, some of the topical things that go on in Shakespearean productions are were at the time very risque, right?
I guess you could say that. There are definitely death and suicide and stuff like that.
Right? Hemlock, right? Yeah, hemlock and all this stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you make a good point there, because what is art, right? And I guess that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
What defines art? Now, I guess, to kind of spin with Bianca on that one again, didn't they used to have, there are like literal plays where people dressed up as women.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get slammed, but it's not on my notes, from our conspiracy theory people out there. Check out Bohemian Grove. They meet once a year in California. It's a group of elite Americans and other people, the financial and power brokers of the world, meet in Bohemian Grove in secret every year. You'll never get to go in. They don't let anybody in. And they do. Alex Jones has been in there and actually got some footage of that, of the great owl. Walter Cronkite used to be the voice of the owl. And they have women. It's a men-only party. Mm-hmm. And they stay there, and they allegedly don't hold business meetings. But when you have presidents and former presidents and CEOs and all kinds of stuff, and you know about this, Carrie, right? You've heard of Bohemian Grove, and I'm only going to touch this for a second. But they dress them. They don't have women, so the men dress up as women to host plays.
Yes, I feel like that's normal.
I'm not trying to get beat up by anybody. If I don't wake up on Tuesday, you'll know that people got annoyed with me in Bohemian Grove. I'm not saying anything negative about it, but I'm saying they dress up in drag in there because there's no women allowed in their club. So they dress in drag. And this was done even in Broadway years and years ago, correct? Right? Mm-hmm. You have a history. You went to the New Jersey before.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
There's a history of that. So that Bohemian Grove just popped into my head because of what you said with Shakespeare kind of made me come to
it's all over the world as well. Like sometimes in Asia. Japan.
Yes, Japan.
They used to only have men dress up as women in order to play the women's role.
It had a name.
Because at that time, the women weren't allowed to act.
Right.
At that time, I believe. I may be wrong, but there was a reason for that.
Right.
And I mean, that, I guess in certain areas it's considered taboo.
Right.
But,
I guess taboo. I mean, times are changing. I don't know. I don't have an opinion. I guess if it's obscene behavior in front of children, then it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be there in public. But there are times when you know something's happening. You don't need to go there. Don't put yourself in an environment you don't want to be around. Anyway, so ACLU.
I wouldn't mind as long as it's like a positive thing and not going towards being vulgar. Yeah,
exactly.
Or anything,
I don't know if it's what the and the contributor tonight actually has, he's from the area and he has some more specificity.
Okay.
On that, the ACLU, the Americans for Civil Liberty Union, the American Civil Liberty Union, argues that this viewpoint is discrimination. That the First Amendment's red line, government silencing a message because they don't like what it says. Now, legal scholars are already warning that if Naples approved other events without such restrictions, this case would implode quite quickly. I don't know, Bianca. I guess if they allowed others to have something similar, I guess, right?
Yeah, and that's the irony. The Constitution protects the speech you hate. If you only defend expression when it comforts you,
right.
You don't believe in free speech. You believe in control.
Wow. Very good point. Because we can't always like what it is, but it's free speech. And let's understand the history of where free speech came from. Not everybody liked what Benjamin Franklin and George Washington and all of our founding fathers of this wonderful nation, the United States that we are today, what he was saying, these men were saying that created our nation, what they were saying were things that were vile to the crown, to the king. That's why they created the amendments. They created the Constitution and free speech because you can't have somebody telling you continuously what you can and can't say. Obviously, there are always exceptions to the rule, which we've already said.
Mm-hmm.
Now, heckler's veto. Who's really dangerous? City officials justified the decision by citing potential protests and safety concerns, which I highlighted in my opening monologue that I figured that might be an angle they would go. But the ACLU laws, Eugene Volk put it, the government can't suppress speech because someone else might react violently. That's called heckler's veto, and it's unconstitutional. Now, before I Before we go to you, Bianca, I wanted to reiterate that after my note. I don't like that. I'm going to say that again. They're talking about the heckler's veto. They can't suppress speech because they might react. However, we go back to my opening statement, my opening quote of the day, Oliver Wendell Holmes, Supreme Court, and you look at the statement about screaming fire in the theater. You can't guarantee that that's going to cause a stampede out the door. That's not a guarantee. But we do know if I tried to do it, we would be charged with some sort of crime. I think, and I'm not making a decision legally, and I'm saying legally here, on my opinion, putting my lawyer hat on, that I believe that the ACLU is not accurate in this argument. I believe they have arguments. I do believe there's an argument here, but I don't believe they chose the best legal argument. I think that using that as your legal angle, saying you can't because you might consider potential, when the famous statement, you can't scream fire in a theater, is something we recognize. And I would put that at the same level, potential stampeding of problems, in my opinion. What say you, Bianca? Yeah,
exactly. The threat of disruption doesn't come from the drag performers. It comes from the people who threaten
them.
Thank
you. Yes.
That's not a reason to silence the performers.
Right.
That's a reason to protect them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the people are threatening them. Right. Mm-hmm. If there is, and you have a good point, and I want to jump in. I know you have more. I just want to say I agree, because they have a right to free speech and they have a right to be protected by their government. Then I'm going to get into the whole money, $30,000 for security. I have a thought on that. And I see things in the gray, the black, and the black and the white and the gray in the law world. I'm not giving a public opinion. I would stand up for anybody's rights. So continue, Ms. Bianca. I'm sorry. I know you had more to say.
Well, that's all I have to say.
I know you had stuff down. You know, and I'm with you on that, you know, and I think everybody has a right to have an opinion, and times are changing just on everything we look at every day. Mm-hmm. The world evolves, nature evolves, culture evolves, whether you like it or not. So we have to look at what might have offended somebody back in 1950 is off the wall today.
Oh, yeah.
Next point, and we're running close on time because of our contributor, dollars as deterrents. And this is an important one to me, putting my public administrator hat on.
Okay.
Dollar as deterrent. The $30,000 question, folks. Let's talk about the security bill. $30,000 to host an event? That's financial gatekeeping. When speech comes with a price tag, it stops being a right and it becomes a luxury. And you know what, folks? For the everyday person looking right in the camera, and if you're in your car or wherever listening, I'm talking right to you. It's a luxury. We, John Q. Public, everyday person, don't have a lot of luxuries. So you may not like what is happening here. You may not like what's going to happen with this drag event. But putting a $30,000 charge on them, exercise that right, I believe, is a tax. And if you want to go back to the foundation of the country, taxation without representation. I hope that they have representation to argue that $30,000 bill. And I don't know, I'm not trying to start a war, and our contributor can go on more specifically. What say you, Bianca?
Well, it's got to be an explanation for all that. I do believe that bill is very high, and I'm sure they could cinch it a little.
I think so. And depending on who they're, and I would like to know the specificity, and I know our contributor is going to give on that, because he lives there and he knows more.
Mm.
Now, this park that it's at isn't private property. It is a public space. It belongs to everyone. Christians, atheists, conservatives, mm-hmm. progressives, drag queens, queers, preachers, gays, whatever you are, it belongs to the people. That's the whole point of our republic. That is the point of America. I may lose some viewership because they think that I'm siding with this aside, but I'm siding with their rights. I may not like what it is. I may like it. That's not for us to discuss. I believe everybody has fair and equal treatment under the color of law. I believe the 14th Amendment, equal application of the law, is important. And I just think you're turning our democracy into a gated community. Mm. You know what I mean? I don't know. What say you?
I mean, and kids don't need protection from drag.
I don't think they're hurting anybody.
I know.
Last I heard, and I don't mean to cut you off, but last I heard, I mean, I'm sure we don't have numbers for this, but there are a lot of gays and trans people that are assaulted based as a hate crime because of who they are and what they believe. I don't see the reverse on that. I don't see the numbers of them going into straight bars in straight places and hurting those people. That's just my opinion. Continue. I'm sorry.
Right. Well, you know, kids don't need to be protected from drag. They need protection from hate.
And from obscene behavior. Mm-hmm. If there's nudity at this event, that's a different story.
Right. Yeah. The idea that a sequin outfit is more dangerous than a weaponized ideologically is laughable. Yeah. I mean, and terrifying.
You know, and you know, it's funny you should say that. And then we're about to get into our contributor. You are very right, because it is the ideology. It is an ideology. I like the way you prefaced that,
the ideal thought.
It was good. I like how you. I saw her note. She like hyphened it on purpose to do that. It is laughable but terrifying because this could be anybody. This could be any of us that we believe in something. Right. There's people everywhere that have a thought, you know? And with that, I'm going to move into our, well, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere.
At the Ram Round Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me. Speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. When the brokenhearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. Those they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be. There will be an answer, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. We'll be right back.
Darren Aquino, National Chief Advocate for Disabled Americans. I'm the CEO and founder of Advocates for Disabled Americans, Veterans, Police, Firemen, and Families. It's a national civil rights group that was founded in 1983, before the Americans with Disabilities Act. I'm also a contributor to Eric Sinatti's Radio Nation.
You said there's more than one court case. Can you tell me what the first one is and now what the second one is?
The first case is already over. I'm the second case to redress, it's called in the court, to redress what was ignored. The first case got cleared by Judge John Steele. He agreed with the plaintiff that this is rooted in First Amendment right, and the city council and the mayor's office is wrong. And he granted it. He was wrong. He violated the rights of children with disabilities and people with disabilities with particular disabilities that this would cause foreseeable harm. So under that theme, I filed a lawsuit on behalf of myself and the organization, because customarily the courts like to see lawyers. And I challenged that because the First Amendment right that they just got granted, I have one as the CEO and founder of a civil rights disability organization. To deny me First Amendment on that is to chill my right. So I wrote to the chief judge and we started up a new case. And now there's some controversy, as you can see.
Okay. In order to get the permit for them to do this in the park, who did the investigation, or how was the investigation done to make sure that it was appropriate for a public venue?
Well, that's the key. They didn't do that. There was no ADA. You see, and that's why I'm hoping that we're going to have success here. And I want to be clear to viewers. We're not saying they can't do it. We're not encroaching on their First Amendment. We're just protecting ours, vulnerable children, from adult-themed content. Now, several Supreme Court cases, state cases, that when it comes to children, now, you got to interlock that. It's an interlocutory statute with state and federal law that says you can't do it. So nobody did the investigation. And that's what gave us, my organization, a clear path to go in as the CEO, as a father of a disabled son, and on behalf of others, because they came in expressing for others. So I'm doing the same thing like the ACLU. The Supreme Court has decided long ago about citizens' action groups, and they have a right to speak, and I don't have to bring counsel to articulate my organization's position. This adversely affects my organization's mission, and under those premises and the Constitution, I have a right to argue, and that's what I did.
Can you just state what your organization is?
My organization is Advocates for Disabled Americans, Veterans, Police, Firemen, and Families. Now, at first, it was just of Advocates for Disabled Americans, and it started under Ronald Reagan. It was just a DBA when President Reagan was in office, and he responded to me after a request for help after an auto accident. And he helped me for 6 years. to get my benefits and the approval. And since he started, like immediately that year, I started helping people with their Social Security because that was the issue. They lost my file, things, you know, you think deep state is now? Deep state goes way back. And it's, you know, it changed my life. So the organization was necessary because it predates the ADA. And I was a lobbyist for it and helped make it what it is today on early situations that I got involved with in New York City. And then, it grew international. I went nonprofit in 1999 because, you know, it was a calling. There was, even though we had the empowerment, you know, Bush respected me. I was at the White House that November after it was enacted. And they made the first accommodations there for access for 10 disabled people I brought to the White House. You know, and I grew up with a disability. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it. You know, it's my right to say it, but they can't keep it or use it or keep saying it. I had polio as a kid, trouble ambulating. I was one of those kids that had to wear a big shoe and they made fun of you and kids are mean. So the organization's whole premise, purpose under the Articles of the Constitution as defenders for a protected class of individuals in America that amounts to 175 million disabled Americans. We have a voice, we have a right, and justice is for all and not for some. In this case, they excluded disabled, and these are the elected officials that we, the people, entrusted as guardians to enforce the laws on the books, and they didn't do it. And you should know this. Prior to this, there was a city meeting at the city hall. I went and put the judges on, the mayor, which is her honor, they call. I put her on notice and the city council with ADA regs. And this needs to be complied with. I spoke briefly. I spoke with the press, which means I made public notice. That matters in the court. I didn't ignore it. I went there. I spoke. The folks from the Gay Pride came up and I made it clear to them. We're not against you. You have a freedom, but you can't do it here. Because disabled children, it's a park and it's a church on Sunday, but it has a very nice stage and I get it. And they're saying it's family friendly. Adult content is not friendly for children with disabilities of mental effect that can cause irreversible harm and create PTSD. They misconstrued because they don't have developmental abilities like you do or I do. And you know, so I have to protect that. The organization is based and rooted in that. And I cited these laws to the judge. I sent you a copy of what we're doing. And I even consulted with Eric, because we're not walking on this. And I made that clear. Last night, I submitted additional information to the court in their portal. And I made a new case. So this case, and I went, that was the document I filled out last night, that they can't say it was ruled upon. This was not ruled upon. This is totally, entirely under the ADA. The city council, the governor, and the judge acted violating under the color of law. In his official capacity, he ignored the rights of the other folks in free speech, disabled children. There are more than 7 other cases that don't allow this kind of content that can harm children. Now, let's talk about the difference of mine is it talks about the mental capacity of young children that can't consume this kind of adult content. So under the protection, I stopped the judge under a 1983. Okay, he can't even hear a case or go near it. And I told the chief judge, you have to act on law, the constitutional rights of children. There is no age to the Constitution. It's merely a status. American-born child is afforded full protection of the Constitution, and they're a protected class. So we're hoping that the judge is going to do his duty. Otherwise, we're not quitting. So let us be clear on that.
What do you know what the actual decency rules are?
Well, there are a few laws. On all the Florida statutes, I picked the Paramount ones, federal laws, and I looked at some state citation. I think it's one 873 of one of the folks cited it today, where it talks about the adult content. But they're pretty much universal around the United States, because let's think about it. We're talking about minor children. We're talking about adult content where they want to pull out their ding-a-lings and do stuff like that, dressing with wigs. And this, now, just imagine an autistic child looking at this with a limited scope, just looking at that, or a Down syndrome, or another child with other developmental delays, that they would imitate that. And in imitating that, they could walk into their classroom and say, hey, look, and do these things. And, you know, we can't have that. So we, you know, there are state protections, but in this case, Judge Steele ignored the rights of the families. He was addressing the city council 2 days prior, on two occasions. I sent them notice. So that matters in the court, because public notice was given and there was nothing done and ignored. So we have a different right here that was overlooked. Same as theirs, but all free speech is not free. And this is in the law books. My case is grounded in law. News said, well, they're fighting, you know, Darren's fighting for his disabled son. I'm fighting because I have a disabled son. And I'm head of an organization that I started 43 years ago, and I'm fighting under the mission of my organization for the voiceless. That parents that don't know how to do it, parents have no resources to do it, and that doesn't mean they should be denied or afforded the full protection of the Constitution. So this organization is firm, and we're standing strong. The community's with me. The congressman, Byron Donald, spoke up on it. We're also friends, and we campaign together. They made reference to my candidacy, but this is not about candidacy. This is about duty and obligation to uphold law. And that's what this is about. And if they think they're going to get away with it, the circuit court will have to take action, or it goes to the Supreme Court. You know, they might get the show today, but they won't have one tomorrow. And then it'll be damaged, and they'll have to pay punitive damages. Right now, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for them to put in place, like you said, the investigation protocols that address this, the ADA requirements and regulations that address for the future and safeguarding children in public places with certain content that could be harmful. You know, so, you know, that's
okay. Do you know? You said this is a park. It's a park. It's a public park.
And a church on Sundays.
Is there a playground?
Right.
Play area? There yes. is?
Yes, so the jungle far? Gym and all that stuff.
Okay.
Right to the stage.
How far from the stage is that? And does it meet the requirements of how long, how far?
Maybe 150 feet, maybe. But here's something else they do. They close the park down with that permit, and then there's no access for the children to use the park.
Okay,
they have to pay to get in.
That was my next question. How can they charge to use a public facility?
Because they're saying it's a show, they're entertainers. And I said to them there, well, I'm an actor too, a union actor. For one, I wouldn't perform in front of children in that manner. And I just wouldn't do it anyway. That's not the kind of acting I do. There's that, you know, so that they could charge for it because they're performing. So, you know, and they got the permit. But the permit excluded the disabled children by no evaluation, not thinking of the general public, because that's why I exist. Because disabled folks are looked upon as sympathetic. And that's why we haven't, yes.
Was there a certain time, like the hours of the park, are they different from when this event was, or was it during
the event
hours?
Is scheduled. The event is scheduled for June 7th. We're trying to stop it because it's going to be.
Okay, but is it during? Is it during, like scheduled park hours?
No, yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. It's not a late night theme because this is Naples, Florida. This is a very conservative. It's dominant conservative, you know. Like I said, we're not trying to say you can't do your thing. We have all kinds of things here. They got kinds of clubs. But adult theme belongs in an adult setting. The playground is not that.
That's the point I was trying to make. If it is a public park with a playground, how can they do something that's adult entertainment only?
Now you know why we made the lawsuit. Now you know why we brought the action, to stop them, because they didn't. There's foreseeable harm, medically documented. Our chief medical officer, Dr. Michael Antonov, said, agreed, chief. And he signed an affidavit supporting my defense on behalf of disabled children. So not checking or not, when they make these rules to exclude disabled from how they issue these to the public, not bearing in mind that the community is mixed with all kinds of folks from nationality to abilities. And abilities has to be considered in public speech, that adult speech that could harm a child who lacks the ability to comprehend it and visually sees it. And, you know, they don't know it's a performer. That child might say, why is a man wearing a wig and a dress? And then he goes and imitates it and goes into school. And then he sees him shaking his privates around, his jewels are out. And then he goes into school and does that. And then that parent gets a call, your son was misbehaving in school today. And how did that happen? So to prevent that foreseeable harm and damage, and that will, he'll think that it's okay for men. He don't understand that's a performance, or she don't understand. So, and then whatever lasting effect that may have, as an advocate, I got to preserve the limitation that they struggle with in a developmental of their ability. So I have to protect that, to let it come at the pace of their ability. And that's what the ADA is. The ADA was a law that I helped lobby for in the very early 80s, before it was even thinking about, to restore independence to people with disabilities by way of accommodation and a little bit more, you know. And we needed government to adhere to it for people when applying for things like a permit, if they lacked the capacity to actually file the approach. And the lawsuit talks about this, like having access to the court. Can a child go into the court and say, judge, I don't understand that, and I want you to stop it? Can a child do that? No. But does a child have a right to do that? Yes, they do. Our Constitution is clear, and I brought clarity to the court. And if the judge tries to toss it, I'm going to demand judicial review. And I've sent a letter to the congressman and our Senator Rick Scott and Byron that we're not asking. Let us be clear. We have an absolute right. First Amendment is for all and not for some. But where adult content is that can cause harm, then it gets halted. That's the law. That's grounded and rooted in justice for all. Right? Martin Luther King said simply, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And that's what we're faced with today. This is a constitutional conundrum. And they're going to think, well, Judge Steele ruled on it. Well, he ruled on that. I didn't bring in pride. I brought in the council. Why didn't you have a law in place? So this is an opportunity for justice to really show the people of Naples, not to deter. Again, I want to say this clear, you know, because they'll say, oh, they're Republicans, they're conservatives. No, I applaud their First Amendment right. I support their First Amendment right. But you can't do it in a park where there's children. Real simple. You want to go rent a stage of auditorium? Go do it. You know, we support that. But you can't do this here. You want to hang your stuff out there and do your adult thing and sex and boob and boobs and this? Fine. But you're not doing it in a park where kids are. And on Sunday, that stage is used for a church. I know, because I go to that church. So that's where we are.
Have you been in contact with Governor DeSantis on this issue?
Well, we served notice on him.
Pardon me?
We didn't have a conversation yet, but I'm sure the lawyers are going to come down, and they're not going to fight with me, so they can join. This can turn around, and that's what I'm hoping for, that we're going to settle, okay? Do what you need to do. Stop the event. The law is on our side. It's not, they're trying to make this about pride, First Amendment. It's a performance. It is, but this is just like putting a rated X movie theater at the drive-in, open to the public, in the, next to a school, next to a playground, 100 feet from a playground. Can't do it. Can't do it. Supreme Court ruled on this. There's New York statutory law. The case is there. I mean, other people, lawyers have access to PACER. They want to see it. They can. And I was up late last night. I was checking with Eric, sending him some of the stuff, you know, to see where we're headed with this, because he's affiliate to the organization. So this is where we're going. We're speaking as parents in my official capacity. So we expect the judges to save face. You see, judges think they're exempt from the law. They're bound to uphold the law. And if they ignore the law, now it comes for judicial review. And I'm going to take them down like Judy Brown. I'm going to hold them accountable. That's why our country got out of control. There was no accountability. Okay.
And thank you very much. We will talk to you on our next subject.
Hello, everyone. My name is Sean Kelly, founder of Project 201. Right now, too many of our kids are falling through the cracks. And here at Project 201, we're stepping in with mentorship, sports, and life skills. But we need your help. Your donation isn't just a gift. It's an investment into our youth and their future. With your support, we can keep them off the streets, in school, and on the path to success. Become a donor, mentor, or sponsor today, and let's change lives together. You can visit our website, 201sports.org, to make your impact now, and or give me a call here at 201-725-5062. Mentorship through sports. Changing lives one at a time.
At the Rembrandt Law Firm, we understand the importance of your constitutional rights. We truly care that we must get a client their desired result. If your freedom is compromised in any way, you call us. We do immigration, state and federal criminal defense, personal injury, bankruptcy, DWIs, family law, real estate law. We want you to be confident in our ability to represent you.
Ever thought about turning your spare change into serious investments? Let me introduce you to Acorns. This app makes investing as simple as one easy swipe of your credit or debit card. With Acorns, every purchase you make rounds up and invests the difference. Watch your future grow one swipe at a time. Start small, dream big. With Acorns, every bit adds up to something significant. Download Acorns today, acorns.com/share, or use your smartphone camera and scan the QR code on the screen, or enter my referral code, 56XJQPC. Again, referral code 56XJQPC, and get $5 for free, compliments of me, to start investing today just by downloading the app. Download Acorns now. I'm Eric A. Sonati, the host of the syndicated radio TV talk show, The Hostile Zone, right here on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Thank you for being through on the break. Miss Bianca, a final sentence before I get into our conclusion?
Go ahead.
Good show, right?
Yes,
show?
I think it is a good show so far. You know, everybody has opinions, and, you know, I hope everybody agrees.
Oh, I got a good one for opinions. Everybody's got an opinion, just like a butthole. Nobody wants to see it nor hear it. Just remember that. So
I didn't expect that.
I know. Add it in there because you got me on it. So Naples, Florida isn't just suing for a permit. They're fighting for the soul of the First Amendment. Because when cities start picking and choosing which voices get a microphone in public spaces and which ones don't have liberty, you have licensing. I am for a less controlling government. Obviously, anybody that's listening and watching my show, no, I'm not for a over more. The government should be having more freedom to the people. Mm-hmm. And when the microphone only amplifies what makes the majority comfortable, then minority speech is no longer free. And for me, that's unacceptable. Honestly, for me, that truly is unacceptable. Whether or not I agree with whatever you do, I agree that we all have a voice and we all have it equally. And on my show, I will call that out. Mm-hmm. This case is more of a culture war than a constitutional war.
Right?
There it is. Yeah. There it is. I said it. So call to action, folks. 360, 365. Freedom of expression isn't the flavor of the month. It is the flavor of our lives. The Fourth Amendment is who we are. Pay attention forward. Pay attention backwards. 360, 180, 180, 360, 365 times a time, days a year, because freedom and danger doesn't disappear. I want to thank everybody for joining us on the Hostile Zone and staying fierce as always and being with us all the way through. Miss Bianca, you want to do the historical quote and the joke for Miss Karen?
Sure.
All right. Here's your historical joke. Go for it.
Okay. Well, historical joke for...
Quote of the day.
Historical quote for today is, if liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear.
And who's that from?
George Orwell.
1984 and Animal Farm. Folks, we're living 1984 every single day. Worse and worse, we are becoming a state of a state. Terrible stuff going on here. Funny joke of the day, Carrie. Miss Bianca's ready to give it to you. Let me get it queued up here.
She
put some good time into it for you here. Whenever you're ready, Carrie.
I'm ready.
All right. I told my city council I wanted to host a family-friendly drag show. They said, only if you move it inside and pay $30,000. I said, for that price, Cher better show up and do a meet and greet in the bounce house.
Shout out to Cher. Shout out to Cher. Right, thank you very much, folks. Thank you, Miss Bianca. As always, you're welcome. Catch us every night, everywhere, the Hostile Zone. Just look it up. Thank you very much, folks. See you next time.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting out, gave proof through the night that our flag was still.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner